know if I'm crazy or not. Okay, thanks. So, you know, I can't sing for anything, but I can sing in a group. I just would love to sing a solo sometime, you know. And I know that will never happen, at least before the Lord comes back. But I, in the shower sometimes I sing, and I sing well. And I envision that I am singing in front of a congregation, and I can sing. Anybody ever had that same experience that you think you could sing in the shower and you dreamt about that? No? Okay, I am crazy. All right, I thought I was. Back at the first of the month, back in January 4th, to be particular, on a Wednesday night, I challenged us who were here that from Psalm 33:3 in particular, that we would sing a new song this year. Psalm 33 is the congregation gathered together, getting ready to worship the Lord. And the psalmist speaks of God's greatness and his goodness, his promises. And Psalm 33:3 says, let us sing a new song to the Lord. God has done some incredible things in our congregation last year and the year before and the year before, and God has just shown himself incredibly kind to our congregation, and we think about these things, and we even heard some of those things at our prayer week and in the testimony time. But our challenge is to sing a new song this year, a new song of the way that God has shown himself strong, his promises true, his character sure, and that we've enjoyed him this year. I hope that as we come to the end of the first month of the year, that you're singing that song. Are you writing a new text, maybe with the same tune, but with new truth that God is showing you, as it were, not certainly new revelation, but new ways in which God is showing himself strong? Could you testify to that? I know I could, and I hope that you can. So that's my chance. I don't want you to forget that. That's my calling for this ministry year, is to keep that in front of you. Let's sing a new song this year, a new song that is filled with new praise to the Lord for all that he's doing. I ministered that on that Wednesday night, and then I started thinking some more about a truth that's just been sitting on my shoulder from Romans. And would you turn with me tonight to Romans 15? These two verses aren't going to be the sum of the message for tonight, but they're the second truth that has been mated in my mind this year, to the idea that we should sing a new song, a song of new praise to the Lord. In Romans 15, it says in verses 5 and 6, and let's read 5 and 6, and then I'll tell you the second part of that statement. It says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grants you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been thinking about that a lot over the past 6 months. And I thought, Tracy, kind of blew it on that Wednesday night, because you should have added one word to that. And if I said on that Wednesday night, let's sing a new song as a congregation this year, let's ask God to show himself strong in our lives, to encourage us in him, to show us in new and fresh ways the displays of his kindness to our congregation. I thought about that from Psalm 33:3, and then I was reminded of this passage, and what's the word that I would put in there? Let's sing a new song, what? Together in 2017. Let's sing a new song to God together this year. And it's not just me, and it's not just you, but it's all of us together singing, as it were, a song that is fresh and new to the Lord. So that's my burden for, as I minister God's truth this year, whether it's in our Christian school or to the Awana children or in our Sunday school class, in our congregation, different ways, let's sing a new song together this year. A song of God's greatness, of his glory, of a fresh expression of his kindness to us. What do you think God would think about that song? Sung from his children together, as it were, raising up holy hands of the Lord and singing to Him. Do you think God would enjoy that? I think He'd be pleased by that. And so that's my hope and that's my prayer as we minister in different ways. Okay? Having said those things, okay, let us sing a new song this year and let us sing that song together. I just thought, in the opportunities God gives me over the course of the year, I just want to open God's Word with maybe just a challenge of a way that you can sing that song better together. Now, when I sing a song, I'm talking about us certainly gathered in our worship, but gathered in how we work for the Lord, how we worship Him in service, certainly in our singing and our praise and how we receive God's Word and all the ways that a body gathers together. And so that's my hope and that's my prayer tonight, and as God gives me opportunity over the course of this year to open God's Word in that way. So the question would be then, how can we better sing that song together? I'm not talking about the tune, and maybe Ben might give us, maybe he'll have a little seminar for us so we can sing better notes and hit those notes. Can you read music? I have absolutely no idea, you know, whatever these things mean. I just sing. Okay, but I'm not talking about the technical, musical side of it, though we could certainly get better with that. I'm talking about the content and the way in which we sing together, unified, singing to the Lord. The question is, how can we do that? What would it look like if we weren't singing our song together? And what would be the descriptive words of a congregation that's not doing these things? You know, I don't know what you think about that, but can you think about, in fact, in the New Testament, some churches that weren't getting along and couldn't sing well together, some people in the churches, any come to mind? I thought about this. It's all right to give me a couple. If you want to shout out a couple, can you think of in the New Testament where people were struggling to get along in ministry? Somebody said that? Or in Corinth. Is that what you said, Corinth? I mean, what was happening there? I mean, you know, bad stuff was happening. And Paul had to speak into those things. And what would keep us as a congregation, based on that, from singing well together? Well, sin, you would say. Maybe it's, and I think about 1 Corinthians 5, sexual sin. And that would be something that would keep us from singing well together. That judgmentalism, okay, the divisions there. Can you think of anybody else or any other churches? Paul had to get after a couple in Philippians 4, didn't he? Euodia and Syntyche. They were fussing at each other, weren't they? How about James 4? What's James 4 started out with? Were they singing a good song at the beginning of James 4? Or what were they doing? Man, they were fighting. What is the source of the quarrels and fightings? It's what? It's your selfishness. Okay? And so I would just challenge you, if our church is going to be a healthy church, a church where we can come together and sing praise to God out of what He is doing in our congregation and in our lives, that we're going to have to be careful to guard ourselves from certain things. How about gossip? Would gossip be something that would keep us from singing well together? Yeah, lying, okay, all of those things. All right, tonight, I just want to open one verse and just be a source of maybe encouragement or reminder for you. I was telling a group of folks this week that I think one of the greatest things that we can do for our congregation to bring us with heartfelt, wholehearted worship together, one of the greatest things that we can do is to pray for one another, seriously pray for one another. But that's not the challenge tonight. I'm going to give you the challenge tonight from something that's right here near where I was just reading. And maybe down the road we'll hit another one of these. But look at, if you will, verse 7 of Romans 15. So Romans 15, 5 and 6 talks about, so that we ought to be promoters of unified praise, so that with one accord we'll be lifting up our voice to the Lord. We're singing our song together of God's display of His greatness, His kindness. Verse 7 starts out with the word therefore. Okay, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And I just want that one verse. I want that verse by God's grace, to sit on your shoulder this week. Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. I want that verse to be sitting on my shoulder this week and reminding me of my responsibility that I have in this congregation to welcome or accept one another, even as God has accepted me. Well, it starts out with the word therefore, right? And whenever you see the word therefore, you always got to dig down, drill down a little bit to see what it's referring to. Right? So, question is, what does the word therefore refer to? Okay, think about that. Are you thinking with me? All right, most of you are. Nudge the guy next to you, make sure they're awake. All right, the word therefore, what's therefore written? For what reason? It's calling us to remember in light of something. All right, now what's the context of Romans 15:7? It's set in a bigger context starting in Romans 14:1 through the end or middle of Romans 15. All right, and what's the big idea in Romans 14 and 15? I mean, Romans 14, Paul is giving admonition to how to get along in the body. Okay, are you with me? There's some real strong opinions about what they ought to do. In Romans 14, Paul is admonishing them. He's teaching them. He's saying, listen, you ought to get along in the body. Romans 14 has two basic commands. Don't judge one another and don't hinder one another. Okay? Don't look down on those who participate. Don't judge those. Don't look with pride on those who don't. Don't judge one another. And don't hinder one another. Okay, now chapter 15 unlocks, as we begin chapter 15, a practical expression of Christ, what Christ-likeness looks like in the middle of these challenges. Okay, in Romans 15, 1 through 6 are basically saying, imitate Christ. And how you get along in the church, he says, imitate Christ. And so that brings us then down to the verse where we are. God wants his children to sing together. He wants us to sing together on Sundays and all throughout the week. And the people to whom Paul is addressing in Romans 14 and 15 were struggling with that. And so he's writing to them. He's reminding them of all that they have in Christ. Okay? He wants us to sing together on Sundays and all throughout the week. But what can we do about it when there's people in our congregation from different backgrounds, different cultural settings, different life experiences, and different levels of maturity and growth in their walk with Christ? What do you do about it? And so Paul is saying, with the therefore, he's connecting the truth about these two commandments and the practical expression of Christ-likeness into how these folks can find their opportunity on a Sunday morning or all throughout the week in the routine tasks of a believer's everyday life. And so he says, therefore, in light of everything I've taught you, what's the next thing that he says? Therefore, accept one another. Or some of your translations have welcome one another. Accept one another. What does that mean? What does it mean to welcome or accept one another? The idea is of receiving something or someone with special care. Receiving someone or something with special care. You ever had a package come to you and they said, hey, this thing is gold. Take care of it. We went overseas last summer with a group of folks, and before Rob left, he said, Tracy, I'm expecting a package. I think it was important documents or something. All I know is he said, it's gold. Okay? Be careful with it. Bring it to me. So what did I do the whole time? You know, antennas are up. And I'm like, hey, you know, I can forget everything else, but don't forget my passport and don't forget this package because it's gold. Over the holidays, somebody who used to come to our seminary who lives down south, father was coming, and he was coming to Detroit from out in Grand Rapids so he could leave his car here and go visit his son down in down south. He just said, hey, could you take care of my dad? So I was kind of picturing myself and trying to take care of my dad, maybe, and that kind of thing. So what was I doing? I didn't know this guy. He said, hey, my dad's coming in. What was I doing? I was attentive, had my eyes open. I'm watching, listening, waiting for him to call, text. He's there, take care of him. I dropped him off. I texted his son, all set. I was attentive to his needs. He didn't, you know, he thinks this is the big city, right? I mean, he's like, well, I'm coming to the big city, Allen Park, you know. And so I'm just trying to take care of him. Why? Because he was somebody who was special, and I was trying to receive him and take care of him as I believed I should have. Okay? So think about that just for a second, okay? When Paul says accept or welcome one another here, what's interesting, it's almost like a bookend. Remember I said it's set in a bigger context of Romans 14? Look, if you will, back to Romans 14, verse 1, where it starts the section. And do you see that same term there in Romans 14, 1? It's like it's almost like a bookend on how we ought to treat each other in church. You see it 14:1, now accept the one who is weak in faith. And now he says in 15:7, that same thing, therefore, not just those who are weak in faith, but we all ought to accept one another. What's interesting is how this word welcome or accept is used. Okay, now we're in Romans 15. You want to do a little bit of flipping in your Bible? You ready? Okay, go over to Acts 28. Let's just look at a couple of passages. Acts 28, verse 2. Now, see if you can see that term in there. It's not the same way it's translated in our English, but what's it say in 28:2? Now, the natives showed us what? Extraordinary kindness. So when you're trying to figure out what does it mean to welcome or accept, here's one way it's translated, and you might think welcome, accept, or to show what? Kindness, extraordinary kindness. Go, if you will, back over, and it's kind of back to where we were, but Romans 11, you see it used in context of Israel's rejection and acceptance of Christ in Romans 11:15. You see, it says in 15 of Romans 11, talking about Israel, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their, and here's the word, receive or welcome, their acceptance be built, but life from the dead? And again, a lot of teaching there, but the point is Israel had rejected Christ, and in the future, he's certainly not done with them, and you just see the idea of acceptance and rejection there. Flip over to Romans 14, verse 3. You see it in 14:3, right at the end? And my translation has, for God has, what, accepted him. What does that mean? God's accepted him based on the finished work of Christ. Okay, he is what? Brought him in to his family. He received him in that way. It's not just a, you know, greeting at the door, but it's a, you're my child. Okay? And then, if you will, let's look over to Philemon. Here's a great one in Philemon. Give you a little bit of a challenge to find Philemon. All right? Philemon. And do you know the story of Philemon? You know? Onesimus has run away, and Paul's sending him back. And he says in verse 17, look at 17, that's where the word is. Paul is telling his friend Philemon, verse 17, if then you, Philemon, regard me, Paul, as a partner, accept him, who's the him? Onesimus, as you would me, accept him. What's that idea? Does that give you a little bit of a shading of what accepting means? Accepting. What had Onesimus done? He had run away, maybe even taken money, stolen from Philemon. And what's the accepting there? You know, he's confessed his sin. Paul's saying, go back and be useful to him. And what's Philemon to do? You know, bring him back in. He's useful for you. All right, so let's go back to Romans 15. Those are just some ways that that word welcome or accept is used. And I take that time because I think you've got to understand from the scriptures what Paul's saying. He's saying if we're going to, with one voice, worship God together, if we're going to sing and be on the same page and honor God in our praise, then we have to practice the discipline of welcoming one another, receiving one another. And what does that mean? Okay, we have greeters who do a wonderful ministry. Aren't you glad for our greeters who are just really begun this ministry of receiving folks? Okay, are we fulfilling this command if we simply have greeters? Okay, based on what we read before, that's part of it, right? But it's got to go further. To what kind of relationship? What would welcoming or accepting people look like? Making room for them in your life? Allowing them to tell you what they're struggling with and you with them to pray for each other? You know, welcoming or accepting one another isn't just something we do on Sunday, though it's a good start. But it's based on what we said. Remember, it's extraordinary kindness. It's the idea of for Israel, it was accepting Christ, embracing Christ. It was God's acceptance of us based on the finished work of Christ. It's that bringing us into God's family. Philemon, it's forgiving, it's restoring, it's embracing, it's using. You know, how was Philemon supposed to, you know, always be watching, you know, Onesimus and kind of keeping an arm's distance? No, Paul wanted to embrace him and bring him back in the ministry. So to welcome one another, we see these scriptures. So the question for you is this. So what words would you use to draft a definition of accept or welcome one another? If I said to you, all right, take out a half piece of paper. Some of the students just started going, ooh, you know, half piece of paper. I don't know if they still do that. Probably nowadays, they probably use their digital devices, and they don't even know what a half sheet of paper is. I can remember Dr. Compton telling us, take out a half sheet of paper. You're like, oh, no, what's he going to ask us? What Greek word are we going to have to try to parse? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to take out a half sheet of paper. But if I did and said, write a biblical definition of accept one another or welcome one another, based on the text that we've used tonight, what words would be in your definition? It would have to be something like embrace, receive, show extraordinary kindness, okay? Some sort of a wholehearted, unreserved, eager expression of kindness motivated by God's love for me. Okay? It would have to be part of that definition. Are you writing that in your mind? He says, therefore, based on everything I've said before, welcome one another. Open up your heart. Open up your life. Receive that person with special care. Well, before we move on, let's not forget that it not only says welcome here, but what does it say? It says, therefore, welcome or therefore, accept whom? What's it say? Does it say something? It says, welcome one another. One another. Okay. I said earlier that we have a ministry of welcome to guests, and we hope we give them an extraordinary welcome. And I hope that we receive them well, okay, into our gathering. I hope that they can sense we love the Lord here and we want to worship Him. But Paul isn't primarily talking about how we greet guests in this passage. Are you with me? Okay. He's not primarily talking about how we greet guests. What's he saying here? He says in Romans 15:7, welcome or accept one another. He's talking about how we relate to each other in the body. Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy as a parent to be fussing at your kids, fussing at them, you know? And I'm not going to tell any stories about when I was a kid, all right? Because I know I'm a parent too. But, you know, it's easy as a parent. I know you're fussing at your kid, and all of a sudden the phone rings. And what happens? Hello, how are you doing? Oh, we're doing great here. We're just having a little bit of discipleship time here. And, you know, it's easy to put on a front, maybe, if we can say it that way, with others. You know, we have maybe have a guest comes to your home and it's easy. You know, you tell the kids, all right, your best behavior, they're a guest. Maybe somebody comes to work for a day, somebody you're trying to win onto your team, and see them come, and everybody puts on their best behavior. But when is it the real challenge to do the right thing with one another? It's when it's just us, okay? When it's just our family, when it's just our coworkers, when it's just us without the guests. And Paul is saying, hey, God cares how you treat guests, but God cares how you treat one another, and you are to welcome them. And does that shed any new light on the idea of welcome or accept? It's not just somebody who's new, but it's how we live with each other in this family. We're part of a family. And God cares how we live in our family. He says, therefore, welcome one another. Okay. So, how are we doing to treat each other in this body as members of this church? Don't forget that God cares. I say every family has a crazy uncle, right? And they're part of your family, all right? And you say, well, we're going to love them, okay? Now, I'm not saying you're the crazy uncle here, all right? But every person in this body is part of a body, our body, and they ought to be received. Even if they come into our body from different cultures, different backgrounds, different histories, different levels of maturity. Part of welcoming them is embracing them. Not, again, don't get me wrong. Okay. Remember Jesus, or I'm sorry, not Jesus, John the Baptist, he's ministering, and these guys all come out and say, all right, we're going to worship the Lord. And in John 3, he says what? He says, who told you about this? He says, go manifest the fruits of repentance, and then come back and talk to me. Okay, I'm not saying that we're undiscerning. John the Baptist certainly said, bear the fruits of repentance. But as believers in our body, we need to learn to enjoy one another, accept one another, embrace one another, make time for each other. Okay, not just those who are like us, but others in the body. Who are you reaching out to in this body to welcome them, to receive them, to know them, to encourage them, to build them? Are your hands open? Or in many ways, are we closed? That, you know, again, I've been around inner city for, I came in the fall of 1978, I believe. So almost 40 years, okay? It's easy for somebody who's been around for a long time to kind of get focused and assume everybody knows everything, you know, what's going on. And that's one of my struggles, is I've got to open up and help people who are just new. Let me show you what we do, and here's why we do it. And are you welcoming, receiving people who are new in our church family? That's why our church directory is helpful in that way. Our church prayer list is helpful. I mean, you're getting to know people and at least their name. A real hindrance for me, I'm just being honest with you. Well, Sunday night, I can be a little bit more transparent with you. Know what's a relationship blocker for me? It's when I don't remember somebody's name. And what I start doing, believe it or not, all right? I know you think I'm perfect. Marshall will tell you different, but I duck people if I don't remember their name. Okay, and I'll try to find out later. And that's it. So maybe it's just knowing names and people. Maybe it's being comfortable with, you know, I know I'm supposed to know you, but remind me your name. I struggle with people who have an accent. And maybe it's, you know, I just got to clean my ears out better. But I'm like, what? Can you spell that? Can you say that? I got to get my phone out. Can you say it right here to record it so I can get that down? I struggle with accents and names that have a lot of consonants and few vowels, okay? I'm just telling you, all right? It's one of the things I struggle with. So I've got to work hard on that because I want to know. I want to be able to talk to people. And then I've just got to be comfortable with, you know what? I'm a little dense here. Can you remind me? Okay. So the point is simply this. He says, therefore, welcome one another, and the one another is how we treat each other, the body. Some of us come from different backgrounds. Okay. I like steak and potatoes. okay? Like a burger or a steak. And man, then probably 15 years ago, Dr. Towns took me to the Chinese buffet. And I figured, you know, I'll go there. I actually kind of like that. So I'll expand that a little bit. And then somebody else took me to a different kind of restaurant. I'll expand that a little bit. But, you know, I kind of like my kind of food. And for the sake of the gospel, the sake of our body, maybe I need to expand my food palate so that I enjoy people from different perspectives. Okay? What is it for you? What is it for you? Are you embracing others in the body? What's keeping you from embracing folks who are in our church? And so, therefore, welcome one another. Let's finish it up. All right, back to Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, accept one another, and let's finish it with, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. All right, that's the third point tonight. First is therefore. Secondly, welcome one another. Third is, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Here's a question for you. How did Christ accepting us glorify God? Okay, you can think about that. But that's what the verse says. That Christ accepting us glorified God. Okay, how did his accepting us glorify God? Well, I just put three things as I was looking at that and studying it. How did Christ's acceptance of us glorify God? Number one, the goal which made Christ's acceptance of us possible glorifies God. The goal. What's God's goal in redeeming us and accepting us? That he might get more glory from those who he's created. And remember, what did God have to do in order for us to be accepted by himself, by Christ? He had to provide for our salvation, okay? And we'll talk about that second, but the goal that God would accept us glorifies him because it's making more worshipers. And how many worshipers does God deserve in this community? How many? All of them. Because he created every single person in Allen Park for one purpose. And what is that? To glorify him. Okay, the goal in Christ accepting us glorifies God. Number two, the process which made Christ accepting us possible glorifies God. So the goal glorifies God. The process glorifies God. What's the process? That Christ would leave heaven, come to earth, live among men as a perfect God-man, die on a cross, God pouring out his wrath on his son, and him purchasing our salvation, that process glorified God. Remember what Jesus said in the garden? What did he say? He says, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thine be done. And that way God was getting great glory in the process. The goal and the process. And lastly, the product. The product of Christ accepting us glorifies God. So now, we who are been made alive in Christ, we who are in Christ, trusting him, we've been made, well, it's clear in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, that you would do what? Show forth, you remember what it says? That you would show forth the praises of his glory. God made us, he recreated us in Christ so that we would glorify him. So when it says in Romans 15, 7, just as Christ also accepted us the glory of God, what does that mean? It means that God was glorified in Christ accepting us, in the goal, in the process, in the product. Okay? Are you with me on that? I hope you can think it through. Maybe you add to that. Email me. Tell me three more ways in which God is glorified in Christ accepting us. All right? But when you do that, remember, it says what? It says that, therefore, accept one another just as. So what Christ did for us is our pattern, our example of how we relate to one another. Okay, and it is that thing in which God is glorified, just as Christ has also accepted us to the glory of God. We accept others for God's glory. I mean, think about it. How well do you naturally get along with other people? I mean, in your natural state, how well do you get along with other people? I mean, go to the nursery, you know, go check out the 2-year-old room, and you'll see yourself in its natural state. It's mine, you know, get that thing. And why do the kids do that? Because you did that, right? That's our natural state. It's mine, and it's selfish, and it's what? It's sinful, isn't it? And think about it, that God, in amazing glory, he said, all right, here's my plan. I'm going to take people who are naturally selfish, they're sinners, they're set on their own way, and I'm going to save them in Christ. I'm going to give them new life so that they were once naturally at each other, that they would on a Sunday morning and throughout the week be the kind of people who would just say, you know what, I wouldn't naturally do it, but let me give of myself to meet your need. They would be the kind of people that would be described in Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor, all these things put aside. And do what? Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. My friend, do you think that glorifies God? I think it glorifies God when natural sinners are changed by the amazing display of God's grace and now brought together in a family where they can, together, with one voice, glorify God. Hey, that's our goal. The process of seeing that happen, I'm going to have to give deference. That's the whole point of Romans 14 and 15, right? Some say I can do this, some say I can't do that. And Paul says, hey, listen, give deference to one another. Don't judge. Don't be proud. Don't look down on. Don't look up with, you know, uncharitable judgment. Get along with one another. The process of being changed in the body. And the product, I mean, think about it. If Intercity Baptist Church, at the end of this year, and by the way, December 31st is a Sunday, so that'd be pretty cool. On Sunday, December 31st, 2017, if we took a picture of our church, if we have relationships that are more together with one voice, glorifying God, with more people who were once at the beginning of the year worshiping and serving themselves, and now they're part of a family here at the Intercity, and they're together worshiping God, so there's more and more mature disciples, and a deeper praise, and a more unified church. Do you think God would be glorified in that? I think he would. I think he would. And so this year, together, let's sing a new song to God. A song with new content of God's fresh displays of his glory, of the changes that he's making in my life and yours, so that together with one voice we can worship God. We're promoters of unified praise. So let me give you 3 statements as we finish. Each of us have a role in welcoming others in our body. So maximize your role. Each of us who have received Christ's acceptance have a pattern to follow. So follow that pattern. Each of us in this room has room to grow in learning to welcome and accept one another. So learn, practice, and seek God's help to grow. By God's grace, I pray that we'll grow together. Maybe it's on a Sunday morning before you come to church, you say, God, help me today to find somebody that I can just sit down next to and talk to and encourage. God, you know, in your classes, probably just about every adult Bible study here takes time to have prayer requests. And what if you followed up and just met with somebody and said, hey, I'm praying for you. I want to just encourage you. There's something I can do. Okay? Maybe it's just looking in the service and trying to find people who maybe have burdens on their heart. And you just come alongside of them and it looks different. You know, it's going to look different for me than it will be for you. But each of us has a role, so maximize our role. Each of us who are Christians have received Christ's acceptance, so follow your pattern. And each of us has room to grow. So learn, practice, and seek God's help to grow. Let's ask God to help us to grow and how we welcome one another this year so we can sing a new song together in 2017.